Welcome to episode 15 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover trainer and voiceover talent, Tina Zaremba. Today we're talking with creative David Charlton. David works for Leo Burnett and spends his day thinking up the brilliant automobile commercials you may have seen for Pontiac Aztec, GMC, and more. He talks with me about how he spends his days, his process in writing commercials, and how he works with VO talent. Listen in. David Charlton, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Hi, yes, thank you.
And I guess I want to start off with, how did you find yourself in advertising?
I literally answered a newspaper ad, which was looking for copywriters. And that's how I, you know, quite accidentally entered the business. I never actually really considered what I was going to do. I did want to do writing of some sort. I imagined that would be journalism because that was the only kind of writing I could think of that people would get paid for. Right. But I actually started working at a newspaper in Manchester in England.
Yeah.
And I was doubling as a journalist and as a salesperson. So the ad that came to my newspaper looking for a copywriter never actually saw the light of day. So there was actually only one response to that ad, and that was mine. Which is
that's serendipitous. The benefit of the job there.
Yeah. Right. Yes. But yes, once I realized that you could get paid for writing, then it seemed like a good career. So yeah.
The majority, you go through your day, is it like 60% spent thinking about ideas on what you're going to pitch to your clients, or is it 30% of the day spent writing?
I would say it's probably 80%. I mean, at the time I'm actually working, so let's not get carried away. You know, 80% of the time I'm actually working, 80% of that is thinking, conceptualizing, bouncing ideas around. 20% is probably writing.
What are some of the commercials you've worked on?
So in my time, I've worked on Pontiac. So we did a whole bunch of campaigns in the 1990s for the Grand Prix and the Aztec, which is, you know, everyone remembers the Pontiac Aztec from Breaking Bad. Terrible vehicle. I did the Cadillac Breakthrough campaign with Led Zeppelin in that era too. More recently, I've worked on GMC Professional Grade, and right now I'm working on the Buick campaign.
Do you listen to actual voiceover auditions for spots you're working on?
Yeah, normally we will get, just a slew of auditions in. There are two parts to the process. One is you will just audition just demos of people reading other commercials. And then you will probably narrow that down just based on the texture of the voice.
Sure.
You know, I mean, some people are clearly more right than others. And then you will probably have a smaller group of those people audition the script that you have.
So when you're listening to the whole thing, are there any pet peeves you found when you listen to talent auditioning for your copy?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, and again, I think it's really hard for a voiceover person because everything that they audition for is going to be different. Yeah. For me personally, and for what we do, we're always looking for once we found the quality of the voice and the person who sounds right, that's usually most of what we want. We don't want a lot of acting, if you like. I'm not sure if that's the word. We don't want much on top of that. They're not just looking for that person. They're looking for that person, quote unquote, acting. So for me, in the type of work I do, where we're just kind of, you know, usually reading something in a fairly straightforward manner, sort of my pet peeve is when people try to act on top of it, if you like. And even when I listen to commercials on TV that don't require that, that sort of irritates me too.
So where do you see the advertising industry moving in the next 10 to 20 years?
I can only sort of say what I've seen in the last 10 years, and definitely everything's going more in the digital social direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's unusual because I read a lot about how, so much more money is being spent on digital and social. I work primarily in television, and I still find there still is an awful lot of work being done for television It's just that television commercials are now repurposed for digital and social. They're not created for that, those, you know, those different channels, but they all sort of find their way into it. But you know, I just in terms of like the people I see entering the industry, that they're much more on my side, they're much more multi-talented. They don't come in as a writer or an art director. I mean, people will come in with books, and that they did the photography, they edited the commercial, they filmed the commercial, they did, you know, they did the voiceover, they composed the music. And you know, in some ways it's remarkable, in some other ways, you know, nobody is, no one person is good at all those things. And I think it's a little dangerous to believe that, you know, just because you can do all those things doesn't mean that you should. There's surely someone else who's a better music composer, a better director, but you know, like, you have your role to play, you can't do everything, though there is more and more of that happening. And I think the quality, there's so much more stuff out there that the quality is sinking, you know, as a result, because everybody can do things that maybe they shouldn't.
I totally agree with you. It's like voiceovers due to technology. Yeah. Anyone and everyone can set up shop and say they're a voiceover artist. I'm like, well, are, it is a craft, believe it or not.
Absolutely. No, I mean, we from time to time we have to do our own just like super scratch tracks. And it's amazing to me how horrible most non-professional voiceovers are, you know, but I still see commercials on the air that have the managing director, you know, salesperson or daughter.
The intern.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's, you know, and it, I think it reflects badly upon, you know, they may have saved a buck or two, but it doesn't make their company look good to me. It makes it look like they're a sort of amateur, you know, amateur hour.
You know, I'm just wondering, everything kind of goes in cycles. If the pendulum has swung where, you know, people that are coming into the industry, be it advertising, as wearing, having many different hats, if the pendulum will begin to swing the other way, where it'll be valuable to be an expert in one area, I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah, I hope so too, because it just doesn't seem like a healthy thing to, you know, that. Because, you know, if you do everything moderately, then you're going to end up with a moderate product. If you can do one thing well and work with other people who do their thing well, you're always going to have a better product, I think.
Okay. Last question for you here, and I didn't write this one down. Okay. If you are not doing advertising, what you're doing now, and you could do anything else for a living or to, you know, just live your life, what do you think you would be doing or want to be doing?
Yeah. That's interesting. I always, for a long time, I thought that I would just like to go and write. But now I'm sort of over that, I think. My son has just been away on a gap year, and he was kind of, you know, it was almost like a Peace Corps-like thing.
Hey, I remember you telling
which
me.
Which he just, and he sort of inspired me that I think if I were going to leave the industry, I would hopefully go do something where I could, you know, somewhere else in the world or somewhere where I could actually do some good. I mean, because if there's one thing that working in advertising doesn't do, is it doesn't really further humanity in any, you know, I mean, it's like I always try not to, I would never work on a product, you know, tobacco or things that I really, truly, firmly believe that would harm people. You know, I've always like tried, nor have I, you know, knowingly taken part in any projects that would do bad, but ultimately advertising is selling people things that they don't necessarily need or want, you know. So I think if I were going to change course, it would hopefully, you know, try and tip the karma scales in a different direction and try and help some people instead of, you know, whatever it is I've been doing this whole time.
That's really cool. I think though too, I mean, I will say commercials that I've seen that are done well create an experience for the viewer and the listener in a way that they're transported. And so it can be really effective storytelling.
Yeah. It's fun. You know, it totally is. It's a fun thing to do, but it If it was going to be something else, it would have to be something quite different, I think.
Not pushing widgets. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Be well.
Bye.
Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor Sam Ufret. Stay tuned next week for episode 16, where I share my key takeaways from my recent trip to VO Atlanta. And a reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. Go to tinazaremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.